Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, shall we just have a couple of questions? Something that might, here's a task for you, something that might challenge the entire panel. See if we can find one question that covers all the myriad of concepts and ideas that you've had this morning. Yes, goal point on the back row to Mike. I'm not sure you're allowed a question, but let's go with it anyway.
Nobody else was going to ask one, John. Mark and the other panel members may comment on this. And it was your the statistics around the number of times you've deployed firearms officers and the such a small time where bullets have been fired. And I was also thinking about David's world of the media and their impression. Why do you think we fail to get really quite straightforward statistical pieces of information into the public psyche?
I think we've been afraid to talk about this. I think the political and public debate, and this is something of concern to us all, well, I guess with police and crime commissioners coming, is always going to tend to focus on what the public see around them. And that's perfectly proper and perfectly reasonable. No one would criticise with that. I think what we failed to do as a service is say, actually, we need to fill the void and broaden the policing debate. Local issues are critical, but behind the scenes, this is equally critical. And if we don't talk about it, nobody will. Having done several interviews about police firearms issues for obvious reasons over the last year, when you start to come out with those statistics and then say once or twice a year an officer pulls the trigger, the systematic evidence is of caution and professionalism. Of course, that's not to pretend every case doesn't merit investigation independently, but the systematic evidence is not of anything else other than caution and professionalism, dealing with massive high risks to protect the public. Yet, I think we've been afraid to talk about that, and then individual incidents cut us out. I think it's a duty on us all to talk about this more so people understand what we're doing on their behalf to keep them safe.
David, in your high-profile world?
I think our world is particularly difficult. It's so political. If you look at the range of newspapers, you'll get the Daily Mail will take a completely different line to The Guardian, of course, or The Independent each day. And so it is particularly difficult to dispel the stories that are out there. I think on top of that, the numbers we're dealing with are so massive. And it is, when you look at the kind of, it's really an interesting issue that when you look at research across Europe, in the UK, our immigration has really rocketed up, most of it being European immigration, but not entirely European, over the last 10 years. And with that, public concern has tracked that. If you look at the public concern in Europe, there is generally speaking, in Europe, there's low levels of public concern about immigration. It's not a huge issue in Europe, although you know lots of European countries have immigration problems. If you want to look at it as a problem, so I just think it's so fundamental to people's concerns. So it's a very polarised subject, it's very difficult, and it's polarised among the media. So our good news story is a good news at one end of the continuum, bad news at the other end of the continuum. So it's just a particularly difficult agenda to try and get across, and enormously political, which means it is managed by politicians, really.
Thank you. Nick, from your perspective, getting the message out there?
Basically, there's been a lot of, in terms of getting the message about statistics on terrorist financing and the actual...
Pull the mic.
And the actual money that's being pulled back from terrorist groups. They've done several studies, and they reckon it's about 100... subject dispute. About 180 million, they said, dollars, the equivalent of 180 million has been deprived or taken out the terrorist coffers or been interdicted by international cooperation since about 2001 to about 2008. In fact, they've done several studies since that, and they've reduced that to about 120 million because basically they had to look and see which ones was a result of post-9/11 and which ones was a result of the Taliban exclusion order, which ones were the result of the monies being in US banks waiting to be seized by literally the stroke of a pen, as per Bush's famous speech, exactly the same as he did before the first Gulf War. And also they've found that, in fact, the so-called hype in terms of the fight against terrorist financing, pulling in, depriving from terrorist groups, they found with even that reduced figure, by the end of 2003, 80% of that had already been recovered. So by about 2006, 2007, 2008, it was the law of diminishing returns, despite the rather draconian measures on the international scale of the Patriot Act, you know, the doing away of the sunset clauses and the international efforts. But that hasn't got out to the, if you like, the wider public as to how effective or how much a movable feast it was in terms of effectiveness. Probably the most significant point about that figure is, in terms of comparative studies, that figure is about 0.004% of the annual revenues, criminal revenues, from international drug trafficking.
Okay. Mick, getting a message out?
Yeah, I think from a peer review perspective, it's a common issue around ownership of a local community, about empowering and engaging the community. Some really good examples of community engagement through community messaging, IT systems, community champions. Learning from all of the reviews are, if you don't engage and inform, the community will make their own mind up about what happened and then often promulgate rumours. Information that is appropriate, getting out as quick as possible, because otherwise the community start to make their own minds up about what's happening.
Okay, thanks, Mick. John?
Just a quick one. I would say you, as an organisation, you have to be more bold and aggressive in talking about the great things that you do. I think the public want to hear about policing from police officers, not from politicians. Mm-hmm. And I think you shouldn't be afraid of what the newspapers have to say. Stop reading them and just say it as it is.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I think we'll stop there. Let you have some lunch. Could you be back at 2:30 for Bernard? Exciting afternoon ahead of you. Oh, and you should say thank you to the panel.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.